And you don't know something from 1947, don't look at me.
Well, she's in there with the champ.
You can do it, Johnny!
Fire that fucking pigskin!
That's a 20-footer. 25. All 3 tons of them.
It's unreal.
The fuck are we watching?
You knock him down. Why don't you try knock the boot down now?
Fucking loser! I don't get married because of you!
There's 12 pizzas for 15 people, most of which are kids.
It's impressive. They do. The timeline's amazing.
25.
You asked me to leave my Nissan in the driveway so we can drive around a Ferrari the whole day. I'm in. I'm a damn good promoter.
Yo, what's up?
Baby, let's go!
You are listening to Tingle Classic Movies here on The Podcastle. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Tingle.
Last time we were on the show, I owe the listeners an apology. I listened to the last show we did last night, and both of us, but myself especially, really railed on Jalen Hurts, saying, like, he's not going to be anything special this season. So I apologize. I was wrong. I'm a man enough to know when I was wrong. Welcome, Michael.
Yeah, I guess I got to share in some of that with you. I still don't know the full extent of the Jalen Hurts, because, you know, when you watch the games, they don't, like, it's not like he does things that Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen does, but he's playing noticeably better, and you have to at least give it up to him for that.
I do. And I acknowledge that he has the weapons that he needs this year. And, you know, funny story, I got to get this off my penis. I hate the Patriots. That's nothing new. I'm sure you do too.
With a passion.
Right. And I don't go on the offensive. I don't meet too many Boston fans. I have a few Patriots friends. They're dear friends of mine. One, Gabe, has been on the show. The other, Rowett, I've worked with on, like, comedy sketches. They're great guys. I love them. There's always a friendly ribbing. You know, like, they'll come over and they'll be like, what's in the bird cage over there? And I'll be like, oh, they're little Philadelphia Eagles, you know? And they'll, like, send me gifts of, like, Brady's rings. Like, it's all good fun. But then there's those ones that go on the offensive.
25.
And I want to know what you would do in the situation. So I was at jury duty this week, and I was talking to one of the jurors. You know, we're mentioning football, and I said, I'm an Eagles fan. And he goes, oh, the Eagles, they need to really cool it. And I said, cool it with what? He's like, the whole 6-0 thing. I said, cool it with winning? Isn't that the point? Aren't you supposed to, like, win? Is anybody shooting their mouth off, like, cocky about it? I wasn't understanding. And he goes, well, don't forget the last time they went 6-0, they lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I was like, yeah, it was almost 20 years ago. How old are you? 30. All right, so you were, like, 6. And he goes, I said, are you a Patriots fan? He goes, I'm a Pats fan. So I said, how old are you? And he goes, I'm 30, but I can show you pictures of me in a Bledsoe jersey to show you that I'm not a bandwagoner. I was like,
Christ.
I was like, I'm not arguing with you, dude. I just want to, like, do my civic duty and get the hell out of here and never see you again. But it's like my point. A lot of these fans, they're always on the offensive, like, oh, Brady this. I'm like, I get it. He's one of the best athletes, if not the best athlete ever. I get it. But, like, the whole, remember when Brady did this, is all they have to fall back on now because he sucks.
Yeah, and my thing with that is New York sports radio personality Mike Francesa.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him one time, you know, after they, I think it was after the Patriots beat the Falcons.
25.
Okay.
What do you have to say now, Mike? I mean, you know, he definitely, now that he's got this other ring, now he's definitely, you know, definitely the GOAT. I mean, there's not even a question. And he's just like, look, that's fine if you want to believe that. He's just like, I don't understand what does it matter? Like, what is this big, you know,
right,
this big motion to just, like, deem him number one? Like, why does it have to be, like, right now? Can't you just let time kind of handle it?
Right.
I do think other quarterbacks, See, that's the thing I don't get. We, like, Bill Russell of the Celtics, like, had 10 titles. And just because he had 10 titles doesn't mean he was the greatest basketball player ever. And, like, Yogi Berra, he had 10 World Series titles. And he may be one of the top, like, three catchers ever, but he's not one of the top five players of all time.
No, he's not even the top 20.
Right. So, all right, he has 7 Worlds or Super Bowls. Like, that's great. But, like I tell people, like,
right,
I don't know, like, could you imagine Joe Montana losing 3 Super Bowls? Because I can't.
Right.
I mean, I watched them both play in big games.
Yeah.
You know.
You're talking about Tom Brady and Joe Montana?
Right.
Yeah, well, Joe Montana's never lost a Super Bowl.
Right.
That's an argument, too. People can say, some people say, well, Joe Montana's better because he never lost a Super Bowl. And I don't think that's necessarily true because Tom Brady at least got to more Super Bowls. And I think that's a testament of its own. I think it's an unfair argument. I don't think you can really compare apples to oranges. But there's always this, like, bar set with Brady. And Eagles fans get, and Phillies fans, Philadelphia sports fans get so much shit for being the worst fans. And you know what? We're not. We're very rowdy. We're the loudest, maybe, next to Kansas City Chiefs fans. I think they're, like, the loudest.
Right.
Like Guinness Book of World Records loudest. But Philadelphia Phillies fans and Eagles fans don't go on the offensive, at least not in my experience. You know, myself or you or any of my friends I know don't randomly go up to people and are like, oh, yeah, fuck Dallas for... Remember when we kicked your ass then? It's like, we know we suck this year, or we know we're great. But I feel like Patriots fans, they like go on the offensive, like they had something to do with this. And I'm just like, ugh. You know,
yeah.
And they've quieted down since Brady left. In fact, a lot of them, at least the people I've spoken to, still like Brady, but they're still Patriots fans, but it was really like Brady. And that did it for him. And I get it. You have this franchise quarterback who's going to the Super Bowl every year. You and I would do the same thing if McNabb was taking us 6 times. There'd be no question. But I don't think, like, we'd be going this offensive. And if you're outside of Boston, I'm sorry, I don't mean to start the show off in this negative thing, but I just had to get it out. If you're outside of Boston, you shouldn't ever be a Patriots fan. I mean, it's like I meet someone in LA from, you know, Texas, and I'm like, what baseball team are you like? Are the Yankees? It's like, of course you do. Of course, like, how original, you know? It's like saying the Beatles are your favorite band, but you really don't listen to them. It's just, of course you're just going to, it's like Patriots. Anybody I see with a Patriots fan that is not within 100 miles of Boston, I'm like, you're not a real fan.
I just...
How do you like that?
I totally agree.
He's a crybaby. I mean, he's the worst, some of the worst sportsmanship ever. You remember all the Super Bowls he lost? He just storms off the field, like, yelling at his offensive line this week. You know, did you hear what he said? He's like, you guys are so much more fucking better than that, you know, because they lost. You're the quarterback, dude. It falls on you, not the offensive line. Sure, they should have held up a little bit better, but it falls on you, man. You're the 45-year-old quarterback. The spotlight's on you. This is the bed you made. Stop blaming everybody else. Take some ownership. That's what a leader does.
Well, he gets that leader... You know, he gets that leader characteristic. It's just like handed to him on a silver platter. It doesn't even matter if he's, like, he's earned it because he's won 7 rings and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, let's be honest. You know, let's forget about the Spygate and all that stuff. Let's just, you know, they've been the UCLA basketball Bruins of, like, the 70s for the majority of our adult lives.
Oh, yeah.
When you're that consistently good, isn't it easier to keep being that good?
I think so.
I always tell people, like, you can't discard some of the other facets of, like, the greatest quarterback ever. Like Peyton Manning. I said, oh, I said, like, all right, like, I know you see Tom Brady in his Super Bowls, and you're just, you know, whoa, right? Like, Peyton Manning took 4 different coaches to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's ridiculous. You think of all that goes into, like, learning a new system with a new coach and whether a coach is going to gel with all 53 players. And here he is, two different teams, four different seasons, four different coaches. And, you know, he won two, lost two. And then people kind of, oh, he didn't win those. The defense won that. Yeah, well, you weren't saying that when the Patriots ran the ball like 13 out of 15 times to beat the Falcons from behind.
Right. In the most boring Super Bowl ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't even watch it. I think I was on my phone most of that game. But you're absolutely right. And when you talk about
freaking loser
winning, it's that it's easier to win when you're that good. It's true. I mean, you saw the movie Moneyball. It's all a money game. When you have that much victory and money pouring in, you can keep the right players on. You can track the right talent. I mean, right. Brady had a ton of weapons, and I agree with you 100%. It's easier to stay good when it's easier to win when you're staying that good over the years. And you talk about a dynasty over what was it, like 15 years, 10, 12 years that they were.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a. Has Brady yet never? Did Brady ever have a season where he never went into the post?
I mean, the one year he got hurt, they were he went hurt, missed the whole year. They still went like 11-5, but they missed the playoffs.
Right, that was it. Okay, it was like 2007 or something.
Yeah, one of those years.
He also, and I don't harp on anybody's misfortune. I'm not that kind of guy, but I do take guilty pleasure in that the guy retired on top of his game, came back. And now his marriage is in shambles. He's losing. And again, I'm not delighting in that, but he's having a shitty season. It's like, it's kind of karma, dude. It's kind of what you get. You've been an ass all these years. You should have hung it up, but your ego or whatever made you stay in the game. And
yeah, people love all that rah-rah. Like, you know, he carries that list of all the players that were drafted ahead of him. Like, to every locker room he's in and all, like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like,
does he do that?
Apparently. Like, still. Like, it's like, all right, you're in your 40s now.
Yeah, you're almost 50. He's closer to 50 than 40.
Like, you made your mark. You can forget that Elvis Gerbach or whoever was drafted ahead of you. Like, it's in your rearview mirror.
Right. Right.
Another thing that I've learned about... And this is more for like the league. Is man, I think all this time I've been wrong about the importance of the quarterback. You know, I for one was always a proponent of, you know, you're a 5-11 team. I just look, if Aaron Rodgers is out there or Patrick Mahomes is out there, you got to go get him. You'll be an instant contender.
Right.
Oh, and I am fine. At least this season, I am finding that is wrong.
Yeah.
When you look at
no, it doesn't fall on these great quarterbacks like it used to.
Right, and like they can only take these teams so far. Like a lot left Green Bay this year. It's not surprising that they're struggling.
Right. Right.
You know, and there's this mantra like with the Bears. Like, because they took Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. Like, if only. No, not if only. If Patrick Mahomes was a Bear, he would not be Patrick Mahomes right now.
Right. No, he wouldn't. And the Bears have made that mistake in the past, too.
Right.
Fire that fucking pigskin!
Yeah, I think that if you look at the Eagles, okay, there was a lot of doubts going into the season, and everything's working for them. They're the best team in the league right now. They're the only undefeated team. I mean, it just goes to show you that can't put all your eggs in one basket with a lot of these, like, franchise quarterbacks that have been around for 10, 15 years.
Yeah. No, I mean, look at Russell Wilson. I mean, they're dead out there in Denver.
I mean, what's that?
Russell Wilson, you know, after he signed in Denver, like they're trash this year.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're doing terrible. They are trash this year. What are your? Let's switch gears for a second. I got to bring this up. The Phillies this week, feels like a Cinderella team this year, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean 10 games behind in September. They beat out the Braves, and now here we are in San Diego.
1-1 as we speak until tomorrow night.
Exactly. Yesterday's game was good for a point until they lost it. But they were holding their own. And I'll tell you, Monday's game, or Tuesday's game, super exciting.
Yeah. It's the playoffs as a whole have been pretty great. I mean, I'll always love baseball, but I do feel like it definitely gets ratcheted up when your team's in the mix.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too. It definitely. You watched the Phillies game this week?
Yeah.
San Diego, the Padres. This reminds me of when they played Tampa Bay in the World Series in 2008. If you notice, all the Padres fans, not all, most of them, all the gear they're having, they're all brand new. They all bought that stuff this week. And I've been to Petco Park. I've been to Padres games, and it's a beautiful park. But the last time I went, they played the Dodgers down there, and there were more Dodgers fans in the stands. They're not a baseball town. And it reminds me of when you saw Tampa Bay play the Phillies. Remember, they were all new. There was never any of the turquoise Devil Rays stuff. It was all brand new Tampa Bay stuff that people bought because they were finally good, and they just went down there. And it's like hilarious to watch. You know, you see, just watch tomorrow's game, you and listeners. Just look when they show the crowd shots, they're all the new brown and yellow stuff. You don't see any like the old blue or, you know, they're all things that were bought this week, probably on the way into the stadium. It's hilarious.
No, you won't get that at the Philly home games.
No, not at all. But, what are your predictions for the rest of the series? What does Tingle's gold yield to us?
Ideally, they have the next three in Philly, right?
Mm-hmm. They're going to play. They play in Philly tomorrow.
Yeah. If they win two out of three in Philly, I think they have Aaron Nola back at game six.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they save Zach Wheeler for game six, which maybe they will.
Yeah.
Either way, I think if they win two out of three here, I think they'll win one out of two back there, too.
You heard it here, folks. Tingle Classic Sports. And also check out Michael Tingle at MTing7 on Twitter. It's gold, man. It's solid sports gold.
It's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
You should be an analyst or a broadcaster. Really.
I think I'd be better than some of these people.
I think you do a lot better, but I think people would. And you got a lot to say.
I think my kid would be better than some of these people.
Which feed are you talking about? You talking about the Fox Sports feed? Because that's almost unlistenable. I watch that if it's a game I can't get on TV because not so much in the post because they're going to play that anywhere. But Fox will broadcast it on the computer and I'll like link it up and watch it, and the broadcasters are like, yeah, so what would you think is going to happen? Would you swing if that were you? I'm like, oh, it's not you down there. Just it'd be better if you didn't say anything.
Fire that fucking pigskin.
I'm having an issue now because like John Smoltz is doing the games and
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm not a big fan.
He feels a little Romo-ish to me.
Mm.
Like people like the fact that like Tony Romo would be like, look at this. They got three wide to the right. This is probably going to be a run off the tackle.
Right.
And then, you know, if he was right, he'd like talk about it. If not, he's like, oh, look at that. They divvied it up.
25.
Like, dude, you stop predicting the plays.
And, like, if that were me down there, I always like when it's Aiken or, you know, Sims or whatever, some form of football player, they'll be like, well, when I was doing this, and they do that, coaches do that a lot too. They'll be like, you know, Jimmy Johnson or Terry Bradshaw, whoever, they'll be like, well, when I was coaching, it's like, oh, here we go with the war stories, everybody, get ready. It's just funny. I sound negative tonight. I'm not in a bad mood or negative. I hope I don't come off that way. I'm just...
No, it's cool, man.
It's like whenever Philadelphia sports do well, there's always that one dick in the room that's just like, oh, remember when they like hit Santa Claus with snowballs? And yeah. It's like, no, I don't, because, you know, my dad was 14 when that happened. I wasn't even born yet. And you don't remember that either. So let's, there's always one.
You're like, do you know the backstory to that? Your backstory?
Backstory? Backstory? Forget it.
What is the backstory? I think the whole Santa Claus thing, I think they wheeled Santa out in like the middle of like a horrible year. It was like nasty out, you know, late December in Philadelphia. And it was just like the wrong time to be all like, hey, kids, let's be rowdy now. Right. Yeah, so here's Santa trying to do whatever, and people are like, no.
Right.
So I get
they weren't
it.
Having it.
Right, they just weren't having it.
Wasn't Santa drunk or something? Or am I thinking of It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street?
Man's cold. Man's got to do something to keep
warm. Man's cold.
Fire that fucking pig skin.
Eagles
I think
are...
it was. I think it was like It's a Wonderful Life, though. Or not, it's Miracle on 34th Street.
Like, yeah, I think Santa was like drunk or terrible.
Right.
And don't just boo Santa, especially in the 60s. It was still, we were still a relatively wholesome country then.
Freaking loser!
Oh, yeah. We were fine in the 60s.
He was drunk or something. It's cold. Like, man's got to keep warm. That poor guy. I always felt bad for that guy.
I'll warm you.
How warm. Eagles are playing Pittsburgh this weekend, who are 2-4. So do you think this should be an easier win?
Easy win. What a bad break that guy got. I mean, he's just having a little...
I know. You're talking about Pittsburgh's QB?
A little... No, I was talking about the Santa Claus. He's just having a little all-nighter. And then here he comes. He's getting his job critiqued by Santa Claus.
Right, and don't forget, Macy's Day Parade, New York City. You're talking in the 40s? You're talking, it could be like 15, 20 degrees out there with the wind chill factor. He's just trying to keep warm and make a living.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't invited to the McAllister house for one of their 15 pizzas.
he did not get his own three-topping pizza.
Speaking of Christmas, they released a trailer this week for the A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story Christmas, I think it's called. The sequel to the one, you know, Ralphie and all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it or not.
No. Was it good?
The trailer's just very ambiguous. They just show clips of the original, like, in a memory kind of setting. And then at the end, you see Ralphie as an adult's eyes kind of open up. So it doesn't give you anything. It's a teaser. No. But, yeah, I'd be curious to see it, though. I'd be curious to see how they, what direction they go in, you know.
Is it still Peter Billingsley?
He played Ralphie, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's Peter Billingsley.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it. Yeah. I just didn't know if you saw it.
No, I have not.
You like A Christmas Story, right? I think we talked about that.
I do.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I used to work with someone who hated it because of, I guess, how crass the family could be. But like I find
They're like, it's like Roseanne the show or something. They're kind of like dysfunctional. Yeah.
You just can't, and I actually couldn't disagree more. I, especially given that it was like 1939 to 1947 kind of range.
Yeah,
like
pretty accurate.
Parents were definitely, you know, like, oh, I can't put my arms down. Put your arms down when you get to school.
Like also, you know. Yeah. No, I agree with you. A Christmas Story has grown on me over the years, and I think you kind of need that sort of movie in the Christmas mix, you know, to like a little offbeat, you know. I mean, you can watch White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, you know, all the classics, but then you have kind of this dark horse come in, has a little bit of a different tone, and it's nice, it switches it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like Halloween. I noticed that with Halloween movies this month. Every year I try to keep October to, like, you know, horror movies kind of thing, but you kind of need to throw in, like, an Addams Family or, like, a Garfield cartoon Halloween in there, because you can't just be watching, like, dark horror movies all the time. It's, like, bad for the soul. You know what I mean?
Hocus Pocus 75 times.
Hocus Pocus, right, on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Or Hocus Pocus 2. Have you been watching that?
The girls watched it. I mean, I think I was asleep at that point.
Yeah.
I think I lasted a few minutes.
You guys are a very Disney-centric family, right? You can't walk a few feet without running into the brand?
No, man. We are branded. We're moused.
You're moused up?
We're moused up. I'll happily admit it, you know.
Oh, I'm a huge Disney fan. I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, and you know, Walt was one of the true innovators of this country.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a pioneer. Well, you were there recently. You showed me a picture. You ate at Casey's, the hot dog stand.
Yeah, it was delightful.
It is delightful, isn't it? How was it?
Well, I was excited because the girls were off shopping, and I, you know, was doing my own thing. And I thought, hey, we haven't eaten in a while. I'm going to grab like $45 worth of like Casey's crap.
Right. This is at the park, right?
This is at the park.
Yeah.
Of course, I get it. And nobody wants to eat. I'm like, So, I mean, they ate enough of it to make me feel like it wasn't wasted.
Yeah. But
mind you, every time we go to Walt Disney World, we go to Casey's. We talk about going to Casey's. And we don't go. And I was like, you know what? It's happening tonight. And
yeah,
I made it happen. And then everyone was just like, huh.
Yeah, like, you hyped it up so much that when they get it, they're like, "What? This is what, like 4:35 in the afternoon?"
We were waiting for the main, you know, castle fire, whatever Illuminati show that they were putting on.
Oh, yeah, so it's like now. It's like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
See, we always... What's that?
I was just going to say, we had dinner sometime between 2 and 4.
Yeah, right.
So I was pretty hungry. We got... just got a couple dogs. The one dog had chili on it, and the chili was fantastic.
I bet.
I'm a nice fan of chili dogs, but I'll have to look up that... It's like Walt's personal recipe or some shit. It was really good.
I bet it's delicious. We always eat at Geppetto's when we go to Disneyland. It's like a staple. I don't know if they have that at Magic Kingdom. It might be Beauty and the Beast now. It might be the Rose. I'm not sure. It's been a while.
We ate at Beauty and the Beast a couple times, but it's gone downhill.
The Rose or whatever has gone downhill?
Yeah, or whatever. I think it's called Beast Castle or whatever.
Mm. Why has it gone downhill?
They changed the menu a couple years back. Mm. The last time we ate there, both my daughter and my mom didn't like the meals they got, and they weren't really too quote unquote magical about replacing them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame. Yeah, you know, before that, you know, if you didn't like something, it was, well, here's two free Lightning Lane passes or whatever they're called now.
Right.
But no, they were just kind of like, that sucks. Do you want something else?
Didn't really. You didn't want to write home about it.
Right.
Doesn't Disney put those smell things in the air to make people hungry too?
They do, and it works.
It does. Yeah, we always get hungry when we go. Within like 30 minutes, it's like, grab something to eat. Like, you know, we could have ate right before we walked in, but it's like 20 minutes later, I'm like, I'll take a burger, please, and something else, and a turkey leg, because why not?
Oh, those turkey legs, man.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I went to, last time I was at Disneyland, we went to, I forget if it was, might have been the turkey leg, or, no, I think it was like a German stand. It was like, Wiener Schnitzel or something. I forget what I ordered, but I got in line, and the security guy got behind me and like turned his back the other way and like just stood there. I kind of turned around and I was like, hey, what are you doing? Did I do anything wrong? He's like, oh, no, you're ordering the last one. So I got to tell people that it's closed down after you. And I was like, wow, talk about engineering efficiency, you know, like to the last, they have the last like hot dog, whatever, calculated. And they're like, rather than disappoint people, they had somebody in line getting ready to turn people away. Be like, oh, sorry, they're all out. And I was like, good for you, Disney. Spare no expense.
Oh, my God. That kind of brings me to almost a completely different story. You know, the chain Arby's, which is...
They have the meats.
They have the meats. Well, I don't know about your Arby's, but our Arby's got really stingy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, around COVID with their sauce packets. And
the horsey sauce.
The horsey sauce, exactly.
Yeah.
And I use that for my fries, my everything. And, you know, they got to it where it was like one per customer.
That's crap.
You just give me some extra horsey sauce.
So yeah.
Like I come here for this. And they're like, no, like, it's like, and
they turned you down
several times. And I'm like, you know, this is preposterous. Like, why don't you guys just like, what is worse in that regard? Because I've had this debate before. What is worse? Is it worse to just run out and then tell people we're out, or to try to monitor to make sure everyone by the 9 or 10 o'clock closing time gets something? Because how many people are really asking for extra horsey sauce, especially when you say like we don't usually give it?
Right.
Like, well, I use it for my fries. All right, we'll give you another pack. Like, what's the percentage of people that are that wouldn't take the no? I'm sure it's pretty high.
Of course. Not to mention that needs to be built into their like model. That's why people go there. They don't go there just for a roast beef sandwich or whatever. You go there because you have that secret horsey sauce. You go to Taco Bell and they're like, do you want mild or hot? You're like, I guess mild. They give you like 50 packets. You're like, I guess I'll keep these in my fridge. You know what
right?
I mean? That like Arby's needs to do that. I did eat at Arby's maybe a month ago and they were pretty generous with the horsey sauce. But I think they're franchises, so it's up to, you probably had some moron owner there that's like, we need to cut down on our condiment expenses, one per customer, and then it's like, it's a bad model, dude.
Yeah, I think I finally got like irritated after how I was like, you know, the COVID thing is like done. Are you guys going to be like back up? Like, this shortage of sauces is going to be done because your sandwich is, let's be honest, unless you have a gallon of cheese on it, is dry as shit. So I would like an extra pack of sauce, please.
Yeah, you're entitled to it. There's a place near us called Philly's Best. It's the closest thing to a Philly cheesesteak, to an authentic Philly cheesesteak in California. It tastes just like it. They fly in the Amoroso rolls like it's perfect. And I've been going there for years, and you know, they have these cards where if you get 10 sandwiches, you get a free one. And We're loyal customers, you know, we're friendly with the staff. And during COVID, my wife likes to get, you know, like extra things of ranch dressing on the side. And I was like, can I get like an extra ranch, you know, container? And they're like, well, we'd have to charge you 75 cents per ranch. And I was like, for a condiment? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I said, you know, I'm not trying to be difficult, but I've been coming here for years and like, that's ridiculous. That you would charge, it might even have been a dollar. It was like something absurd. And I was like, you know, economically, you could get, this is before inflation went off the racks, you could get like a bottle of this for like $3-4. And you want to charge a dollar for like a thimble of it? Like it was out of control. And, but it's like shit like that that pisses me off too. It's like, you know, you need to build it into your bottom line.
Right.
You know, you can't make money off of that. It's like getting a car wash. They're like, well, we need to charge you an extra dollar for using like soap on your rear thing. It's like, no, that's part of the whole thing, you know, raise your prices or that deal with it, but you don't nickel and dime people.
Honestly, like And that too, like the perception of things. Like, all right, I'm going to get this burger and I'm going to ask for blue cheese for the burger because I like dipping my fries in burgers. Sometimes the burger, but always the fries in blue cheese or honey mustard.
Of course.
So if you're going to charge me an extra 75 cents for the condiment, why don't you just turn that $10 burger into $11.50 burger?
Right.
Like I won't even think twice of it. And then you give me free ranch or honey mustard or blue cheese or whatever, and I'm happy Jack.
That's all you need to do is just build it right into the bottom line.
It's like Disney, going back to the Disney thing. You know, they have you pay for parking if you go to the park, obviously. But if you are at the resort, you get your parking for free or whatever. But right, you also, now that they charge you to park at the resort, which it's funny because the resorts aren't near anything. You know, if you're staying at like the Caribbean Beach or the, you know, Epcot Dolphin or whatever it might be, like you're not near anything. So what do you, why would, there's no option, there's no,
you're there's no alternative.
Right. You're not optimizing this great parking spot.
Right.
So when the hotels and resorts start charging $25 a night for you to park your car there, it just angers you.
Oh, so yeah. It's infuriating.
Right. So why not just take that $250 or $350 or $400 a night hotel stay and turn it into a $425, $325, whatever it might be? Right. I won't even know the difference.
That's what a smart and good hotel does. They will, you know, you might say, you're paying a little bit extra for this room, but look at all the amenities they can boast, like free parking, complimentary towel, pool. You know, they built that into the price. The nickel and diming's terrible, especially when they change it after the ship has sailed, you know, where you like even go into a place for years. They're like, man, we're going to start like charging for this. It's like, ugh, just go out of business at this point because you've already lost.
Right.
I've been to a few hotels where, you know, they're like, you park and they're like, oh, it's like $20 per night. It's like, I'm a guest here.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, what? Come on, dude.
Like, I'm not using your hotel to park and go to, you know, the Shoney's down the street. Like,
right.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah, it's a bad business model. You already lost the game in my book if you do that. It's like, just enough.
Right?
The horsey sauce.
25.
My daughter stepped out here when we were talking about that. She's like, oh my god, because I must have raved every time I would go there. Like, they did not give me my extra sauce again.
Yeah, but that should be included. That's the experience of Arby's. It's that horsey sauce. It's like, exactly, going to In-N-Out in California and getting the animal style fries. They don't charge you, you know, you pay more for them because there's the secret sauce on top. And they give you 1,000 extra packets for free.
Right.
They don't say like, oh, we're going to charge you more. It's like, no. You just raise your prices. People will still come regardless.
I miss In-N-Out.
I know. It's so good.
Yeah. I, you know, up here in Philadelphia, we don't really get any of that. So people that have traveled out west know of these places. And I have not hit my In-N-Out fix in years. But
oh, you're due. You're due to come out. Bring the kids out. We'll all go to Disneyland, right, and eat at Casey's.
But I found out before we went to Florida that Florida, it does indeed have Del Taco.
I'm a damn good promoter.
Do they really?
Yeah, there was a Del Taco right off the strip that leads you into the kingdoms.
Yeah.
I should say the parks, whatever. But, man, it was delightful.
Oh, yeah.
And, I
Del Taco's good.
Yeah, right?
Underrated. Like,
yeah. They got a little pricier. They used to be able to go in there and get a burrito for $2 or $3 and then I'd be walking home from, because they have one at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And then when I was visiting Nick Mariakis, you remember Nick Mariakis?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. He lived out in Los Angeles for a while. And he was a huge Del Taco fan.
Yeah, they are good. And they used to be cheap like that. I remember where I used to work, there was a Del Taco across the street. So for lunch every day, it was like You spend like $3-4. You get a burrito. You get like a soda. It delivered. It was always good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do an experiment next week. I'm gonna go to Arby's with my buddy Tim. We usually meet there because he works next to there at a weed dispensary, and like I'll meet him for lunch because it's up the street from me. And we just go to Arby's. I'm gonna see how many horsey sauces I can get before they say no. Don't you think too? It's up to. I think with the horsey sauce. Okay, so it's a franchise, so it's up to the franchise owner to not set the prices, because I think they have to do what corporate does, but it's up to them to, like, hey, don't give, like, so many out. But if you're a kid, which usually you are working at one of these places, I mean, if somebody asked me for extra sauce, I would just put my hand in there and give them, like, 5 or 6. I wouldn't really care. I feel like you have to be a pretty stingy manager to, like, really cut people off of the horsey sauce.
Right. I mean, like, they have these workers like ready. They're ready for the combat, and they do not waver. Right? Because I mean, they're very quick to be like, I can only give you one. Oh, okay, well, nope. So well, you know, I use it for my fries. And
was it really only one they gave you?
Yeah, and then
that's not even enough for the meal. You need at least two.
You need two. I do two for the sandwich. If I get, sometimes I don't want the cheese, but I get like a double meat or a double beef and cheddar.
Yeah.
That is at least a two horsey sauce sandwich.
At least.
And then with the curly fries.
Yeah,
I usually put 2 or 3 packets on the wrapper, and dip in.
Yeah, yeah, you have to.
You can't just have the remnants of the first one or the extra pack for the fries. The fries need at least 2 packs of their own.
Oh yeah, because they go very quickly. The sauce. When we get the Arby's here, we always have leftover horsey sauce because I have in the fridge, and I'll put it on like a sandwich here and there. So I feel like the drive-through, at least, they're more generous. But do you actually go in, or do you do takeout?
No, our drive-throughs were not generous, because this all started during COVID when we couldn't go in.
Oh,
yeah.
Which Arby's is this? Like, where is it?
The biggest culprit was the one in Fairless Hills.
Oh.
There's one not too far from me in Bristol, but the one that I tend to go to more because it's on the way home from work is the Fairless Hills one, and they can be real bastards about it sometimes.
I feel like there has to be.
Eat the fast food all that much, but when I do,
when you do, you should be taken care of. I wonder if it's set in stone where it's one per customer. Like, what if somebody said, yo, I have $100 here. I want $100 of horsey sauce. Like, how do they respond? Do they, like, is it like allocated, like, price-wise? Like, what are they going to say? No, only one. It's like, well, here's $1,000. I'm a rich weirdo, and I just want $1,000 in horsey sauce. I mean, they'd be stupid not to take your money. Like, how do they allocate that?
Right. And I mean, look, I manage a jewelry store now.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, right.
Every kiss begins with Tingle.
That's actually where I work.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But, you know, we have set amounts that I can keep in my back pocket in the event that, you know, someone's not happy. Maybe someone needs a discount on the repair, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So then, you know, it looks like great customer service. It looks like...
looks like you care.
Right, exactly. It's like, you know what, you waited a long time. I'm going to throw it. I'm going to throw 10% off on this ring.
Yeah. Thanks. People appreciate that, especially when buying jewelry. You're talking, you know, if you're buying a $1,500 thing, you're talking, you know...
$150.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And people appreciate that.
But you would think that some of these managers, like, I mean, you want people to go back. I mean, I'll tell you, since the whole sauce fiasco started, I don't frequent Arby's like I used to.
Well, what does that tell corporate? You know, that should, people should know, like, yo, let's say Mike Tingle goes twice a month and he spends $20 each time. That's 40 times 12. I mean, that adds up. And, you know, I'm sure you're not the only person in the Fairless Hills area that has complained about Arby's. Like, there's a reason they want to keep customers happy, you know, because once in a while you come across someone that's just an asshole. They're like, oh, there's a hair in here. It's like, yeah, you can't do anything about that. But right. when it comes to policy, like cutting off something that somebody loves, which again, horsey sauce, that's the point of Arby's. That's the only reason that makes it famous, is they have this sauce with these. You get a sandwich anywhere. It's like the sauce with it, it's great. So I don't know. That grinds my gears too.
Right. And they have their Arby's sauce. The Arby's sauce is nothing compared to the horsey sauce.
Arby's sauce is the horseradish, right?
Horsey sauce is the horseradish, and the Arby's sauce is like a tangy barbecue sauce.
Right.
It's nothing special.
No, it's not. It's okay on fries.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't. I think you're in the right. I feel like you should get a lifetime of free Arby's.
That's probably something I do not need, but I would take.
I'll tell you what, the last time I went to Arby's, the manager there, he reminded me of, have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
Yes.
He reminded me of Gus Fring. Not so much in appearance, but he had a tie on. He was very like, how's your day going today? And I was like, oh, it's pretty good. He's like, do you need like another soda? Or he was super nice. And it was just my buddy Tim and I in the restaurant. And we were saying to him, my buddy, like, I think that, does that remind you of Breaking? He's like, yeah, that's Gus from Breaking Bad. Like, he's super nice, wearing a tie. There's clearly a meth lab underneath this place. But he was very, and I bet the guy probably even watched Breaking Bad and is like pretending to be like that guy just because it's something fun for him to do during the day because it's LA and he's probably an actor. But he was just like, you know, if you need anything else, let us know. Can I bring you over a napkin? And I was like, you're very accommodating, sir. Thank you. No issue with the horsey sauce there.
And you're like, you are who I'm looking for, right?
And he goes, your friend is obviously high.
Yeah. It's like, sir, I do not understand quite what you're saying. But if you would like another Diet Coke, I will be happy to get it for you.
And then as I drive off, his smile fades and he just stares blankly at me out the window. All right.
Great character.
Oh, in my top five ever in television. He's just so ruthless.
Yeah. And, he was equally as good, if not better, on Better Call Saul.
Yeah, definitely. I actually enjoyed Better Call Saul more than Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad's a much better show. It's a classic. But Better Call Saul, I really enjoyed the shenanigans of Saul Goodman a lot. People can take him or leave him. A lot of people think he's annoying. But I just love all the trouble he goes through for, like, the shenanigans. You know, like, instead of just stealing a car key, he, like, has one pickpocketed and then secretly made and then switched out. And it's like a MacGyver kind of thing he's always doing. And I just loved watching that, like, week after week.
Right. It's like he's a lot smarter than anyone on the show gives him credit for.
Right.
Except for maybe Kim. Kim, like, sees him for what he is. But, yeah, and I'll tell you, man, shows like that just don't work normally.
Right.
You know, when you take that, you know, when you spin off Joni Loves Chachi and whatnot, like, you think you're going to have this great run with this side character.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, stops. But they made Saul, you know, the combination of Odenkirk and Gillian and all the writers and all, like, they made him something truly special, man. That was I didn't get to see the last season yet, so I'm a little in the dark on that. But so far through five seasons, it's been great, and it's built like perfectly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the last season, which I won't spoil anything for you, but I think it was the best one yet. Everything you loved about the other seasons, like the best part of each, they kind of combine that in like every episode. And it's just, I mean, there's like more of the Salamanca cousins in there doing like what they do. Like, and at that point, I feel like with the last season, him and Jonathan Banks, the guy that plays Mike Irwin Trout.
Right, Philly Irwin Trout.
What's that?
Philly's own.
Yeah, they just, everything is gelled at this point. They all know it's the last season of the Breaking Bad universe, you know, for the most part, pretty much for all these characters. And they just play up on that, and it's just fun, you know. It just works. And you forget that you know the fate of some of these characters in Breaking Bad. Like,
right.
You're like, is Mike going to die here? And you're like, of course he's not going to die because he's in Breaking Bad. But you kind of forget that. And you're like, oh, what's going to happen? You know? So it's kind of interesting, which I think is the mark of great writing. You kind of lose yourself in it. And you're not, it gets bad when you start questioning it and like thinking out loud about like, oh, well, this doesn't make sense. You know, you just, it's immersive and it's great.
Yeah, I've been very impressed.
Kim Wexler is probably the best, one of the best female characters ever. She's just like great.
Yeah, ditto that. She really, there were times when she really carries the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And just her manner of speaking, I believe that she's an attorney. You know what I mean? Like, just very buttoned up and professional. And even like in private life, she's very professional. She doesn't really like make a lot of mistakes, and if she does, she like owns up to it and tries to evaluate it, you know. Like, it's just great.
Right. And she's a great example of someone who's trying so hard to stay in the system but knows the system's flawed.
Right
And you know, she's smart enough to work around it.
She gets it.
Also, anytime, even in Breaking Bad, anytime those shows went a little off the rails with the characters, it still seemed to work.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it did.
Like, I don't know. Like, I like The Wire, but I don't like it like a lot of people do. And like, I don't know. Have you seen it?
It's my third favorite show ever, and I know your thoughts on it. You're like, it's just okay. It's not this great thing.
Well, the problem I have with it is it's too up and down. I think it's a great show. I just don't think it is the greatest show. And, like, I really had a problem with the McNulty, like, setting up murder scenes. Like, the last season for me really went off
big time.
The deep end.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't watch the last season anymore. You went from this great opening season of the projects and like the inner city kind of economic impact of like racial inequality to the ports, which was cool. You're like touched on like post 9/11 terrorism and things. And then the fifth season, McNulty's like creating a serial killer that comes to life. And I'm like, oh, come on, dude.
Right. It was just a little too, even
it was too much.
He's not the ideal cop, obviously. And he has all his demons with his ex-wife and all the girls he sleeps with. But I didn't see that. But I don't see that arc from him. He was a good cop. For everything that you could say about him personally, he was a good cop. He's not someone that I would have thought like started getting all plastered and set up his own, like a fucking reporter.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's like Peter Parker, they call jumping the shark.
Like, hey, I got pictures of Spider-Man. Check it out. You know? Like,
right. I mean, yeah, they ran out of ideas, or they, I don't know what happened with the writing staff, but they really took that for a 180. And I think the show peaked at the early on. Like, the first two seasons I thought were great. The third one with the schools was, or the politicians was okay, but then it really started peaking. And then they do like the school one where like Prez right. is the cop that is now teaching kids in school. Like, no, he was like, he shot an unarmed kid or beat him up or whatever. He's not going to be put in charge of a school system. And but right. then the school's like working with the cops, and they really started jumping the shark with some of the story arcs. You're like, okay.
I do feel like it peaked early. And you know, it always gets kind of lumped in with the other great HBO show. But with The Sopranos, I feel like I never get tired of the first season. I also feel like the other seasons don't waver. Like,
right. Like,
early on, I mean, when we were younger, it was just, you know, you kind of fell in love with that first group. And then Big Pussy dies and all that stuff. And after that, it's like, now you gotta, oh, look, there's, you know, Jackie Aprile's son. And it's like, he's a dirtball. And
yeah.
Now, as it goes, like, some of the later seasons actually feel more full than the earlier seasons do.
That's a good point. Yeah, they were more layered. They dealt more with like Tony's psychiatry and like Meadow's character, and they threw all kinds of angles in. And the show's always been like that. They've always multi-leveled. But I agree with you. I rewatched it maybe a year ago. I don't remember. No, it was earlier this year after like Tony Sirico passed away and all those mob guys were dying. I started watching it again, and I agree with you. Yeah, I think the later seasons they've aged better over time.
I said this year that I would give it a year or two, because everyone always tells you, "Hey, watch this show, watch that show," and I tend to watch something and then I'll look for something else to watch, and I'll think, "Man, I haven't seen Flight of the Conchords or The Sopranos in like forever. Let's throw that on."
Oh yeah, it's so refreshing.
Right, but so I've been trying to avoid it, but I've had the Soprano itch for a little while now. I may actually dive back into it.
Yeah, you got to scratch it. Before we go, Mike, I want to ask you. Tweeted out 6 hours ago. Honestly, what have you seen from Heineke that makes you believe he has even a shot to be great? and of course, we're talking about the Washington Commanders quarterback. What's
right.
What was this in response to? Are people praising this young man right away?
Well, I don't know how this happens. I guess because I follow around Carson Wentz, because I'm, you know, one of the Eagles fans that appreciates what he did back in 16 through 19. And
sure,
you know, I understand that we wouldn't have Super Bowl 52 if not for him. We wouldn't have even gotten close to it. So he'll always hold a special spot in my football heart.
Yeah.
Whereas other people just seem to hate him because he, quote, turned his back on the city. I don't see how you turn your back on this. Like, if my boss right now goes out and hires someone else and I'm out of a job in 3 months, I'm not feeling all that happy about Case.
No, that's such a good point.
Right?
You get laid off or something and, like, you turned your back on us. It's like, you kind of turned your back on me.
Right. And if they brought in two people, I would definitely be looking for a job elsewhere, because obviously they drafted this guy. They wanted something else, right?
Especially in football. How many years do you have? You have to jump on things.
Right. So now that I like follow him. Last year I got all these stupid Colts things, and now this year I'm getting all these Commander things. These guys are funny, though. When they first got him, they were all geeked up, and then they didn't realize how badly that team's terrible. They don't defend the run well. They can't cover the pass. They can't block to save, like, I mean, Carson Wentz leads the league, and he may lead the league. Like, I don't know, Taylor Heineke is going to be behind that offensive line. I don't know.
No, so, I agree with you.
they were all thrilled that he was coming in to upgrade the position, and now all of a sudden he's gone, and now they love Tyler Heinicke again, as if he's, you know, Josh Allen. So, whatever.
And you see this a lot, though. Like, you knew this was going to be happening.
Look, that's the one thing I love about football. I love and hate about football, is that you can swing any argument just by the words. You know, like, even going back to the Brady thing. Oh, he's got 7 Super Bowls. Yeah, well, you know, his defense never lets him down. He's got Bill Belichick, the greatest defensive mind in the history of football, you know, at his disposal.
Right. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, they didn't run Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line. Like, right. You know, all these things that just kind of work, you know, and it's anything that you can say, you can diminish a running back or a quarterback's importance because of how good the offensive line is.
Hey, you can talk about Wentz all you want. This Washington team sucks.
Yeah, that's what it boils down. Look,
it's true.
He's not what he was. I don't know. It's a big mystery to me. Just like it bothers my sports mind. What happened to him? Who the hell knows?
Right.
But he's better than a lot of people give him credit for. But again, what I was saying about the quarterback, like,
I can buy that.
They're not the main engine now. They are just kind of cogs. Like, if you put Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts on the Washington Commanders, guess what? They're still going to suck.
25.
And also, this is another golden tweet from MTing7. I agree with you, Michael. Okay, this is from Thursday Night Football, and Mike tweeted out here. And I just lost it, so let me just find it again. But I do agree with what you're saying about, and you give a fair analysis of Wentz and everything. I mean, you come from a good place there. Michael tweeted out on Thursday Night Football, is Justin Fields really hurt after every play, or has he just been studying the Acuna volume of method acting? Hashtag NFL, hashtag TNF on Friday. Oh, it's so good. Is he really hurt after every play, though? What's the deal?
I don't know.
He's always, like, grabbing something and wincing.
And then he's, you know, he's down. Somebody's always helping him off the field. It's like, man, get up, dude. It's like, you were the one that slid there. You quarterback slid, and now you're on the floor. Like, get up.
And I was thinking about this actually last night.
Bitch.
I know. I was thinking about this last night. I was playing Madden. Yes. And, you tweeted this out. I'm just going to say it, all due respect, but Al Michaels has to go. Turn over your mic, my friend. Great career, but you no longer bring anything to a broadcast. There's actually been some exciting plays tonight. And I feel like Al Michaels, and he has a great career, great legacy. He's done his part. He deserves to be heralded, and, you know. But, like, it's time. You know, he's in the, like, 80-year-old Sinatra phase. Where, remember, Sinatra did a few shows in the 90s, and, like, the voice was creaky, and you're like, it's not the same. Hang it up. And he did.
Yeah, I mean, he did the duets album, and even, like, I can remember my father and uncle, who are, like, big Sinatra fans, just kind of talking about how, like, it's eh.
It was, like, just eh. Yeah. It was just a novelty. I'm a huge Sinatra fan, and always have been since I was a kid. You know, I grew up, dad always had Sinatra in the car. Sinatra and Harry Callis were my, like, bedtime stories. And so I love Sinatra. I'm comparing Al Michaels to, when it's time, man, you know? And I think Al Michaels needs to hang it up.
Freaking loser!
Yeah, I mean, it was sad. I mean, look, that game last week between the Commanders and Bears was not pretty. That said, it was a close game for a while. There were some turnovers. There were some shifting kind of plays. And you wouldn't know it from what Al Michaels was saying. And he wasn't particularly great in the Super Bowl that, you know, we won, if you remember that. Like, I mean, if you listen to, like, the Philly special play, if you listen to his call and compare it to the radio broadcast with Kevin Harlan, who's awesome, man, it's like night and day.
All right, that's going to be our time for tonight. Michael, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Good talking to you.